All right, so we're diving deep into Ephesians today, and I've got to say, this lecture from Dr. Darko is really something else. He just brings Ephesus to life in such a vivid way. It's like, you know, you're not just reading words on a page, you're right there with the early Christians.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's easy to forget, I think, how different their world was.
Totally. And Dr. Darko does a great job of breaking down those differences, like how religion and intellect weren't seen as separate things back then.
Right. Like even John Calvin, you know, the reformer, he was a huge fan of Ephesians.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Darko mentioned that. What do you think it was about Ephesians that resonated so much with Calvin?
Well, Calvin was really into like the sovereignty of God, you know, and grace. And Ephesians, it's all about predestination and God's plan for salvation. It totally fits with Calvin's whole theology.
Interesting. It's funny, though, because there's all this debate about who actually wrote the book. Dr. Darko goes into the arguments for and against Paul being the author.
Yeah, the authorship question.
Yes, it's fascinating, right? Yeah. Like, the vocabulary and style are a bit different from Paul's other letters. What do you make of that?
It's tricky. You have to remember that back then, people didn't always write things themselves. Paul probably used scribes. And, you know, that could definitely change the style a bit. Plus, Paul, I mean, his tone and even the words he used could change depending on who he was writing to and why he was writing.
That makes sense. So it's not just about, like, did Paul write it or not? It's more about how these texts were put together back then and how they've been passed down to us.
Absolutely. But regardless, the message, the core theology, it all lines up with what we know about Paul's teachings. And those teachings landed in a pretty wild place, you know? Ephesus, this huge port city, a real melting pot of cultures and ideas and commerce.
I know. Dr. Darko's descriptions make it sound so intense. Like, can you imagine just walking those streets?
It would have been amazing. A little overwhelming, maybe. Dr. Darko compares it to, like, New York or Tokyo today. But instead of skyscrapers, you've got these massive temples everywhere.
Yeah, and each one dedicated to a different god or goddess.
Yeah.
It must have been a totally different religious landscape than what we're used to.
For sure. Their worldview, I mean, it was just saturated with supernatural. Religion was everywhere, you know, not just in temples or on certain days. It was just part of life.
Right. And then you've got Artemis, the big one in Ephesus. Mm. Her temple was one of the wonders of the ancient world.
Right. And it even served as a bank. That's how connected religion and money were back then.
Wow. That's wild. Yep. I mean, she must have been a really powerful figure. Dr. Darko talks about these huge processions in her honor and all the rituals and stuff. She was the protector of the city, right?
Exactly. Like a symbol of fertility and abundance. It's hard to even wrap your head around how much influence she had.
So you've got this like super intense religious atmosphere and then Christianity comes along. What a clash of worldviews.
I know, right? Imagine trying to spread the message of one God of Jesus in a city that's all about polytheism and a goddess who's basically the embodiment of power and wealth. It was a huge challenge.
But Ephesus also had a big Jewish population.
Mm, right.
And Dr. Darko mentioned they had certain privileges.
Yeah, and that's important. Those Jewish communities, they were kind of like a starting point for Paul. He could connect with people who already believed in one God. Although even within those communities, there were lots of different interpretations and ways of practicing their faith. It was a diverse place.
So when Paul shows up, he's dealing with all these different reactions to his message. Some people were skeptical, some were resistant, and some embraced it wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. Like that story in Acts about the sons of Sceva.
Oh, yeah. The Jewish exorcists who try to use Jesus's name for their own magical purposes.
Yeah, that one. It just shows you how Jesus's name was already becoming known, even to people who didn't really believe. It was like they saw it as some kind of magical formula.
Yet that backfired spectacularly.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. It wasn't just another magic spell. And that event, along with Paul's preaching and the miracles, it seems like it really had a profound impact on people.
It's amazing to think about, isn't it? That people were literally burning their magic books, giving up those old ways.
It's a powerful image. It shows you how transformative the gospel message was. This wasn't just about adding another God to the mix. This was about a complete change of heart and a whole new way of seeing the world.
Yeah, it's like they were saying, this changes everything.
Exactly. And that's the context for the letter to the Ephesians. It wasn't just some theoretical letter. It was written for real people dealing with real challenges in a really specific and, you know, kind of crazy place.
This is where it gets really interesting to me.
Yeah.
You've got the setting, the characters, the whole backdrop. And now we get to see how Paul, or whoever actually wrote this letter, applies these timeless truths to their everyday lives.
And those truths were landing in a city that, as Dr. Darko puts it, was steeped in spiritual darkness. So how does Paul equip them to navigate that? That's what we'll get into next.
All right, so we've got this incredible backdrop of Ephesus with this like clash of worldviews happening.
Yeah.
And now we're diving into Paul's letter. So where do we even begin with this thing?
Well, Dr. Darko, he makes this interesting point about the structure of the letter. It's almost like it's split in half, you know? The first part is all about theology, who we are in Christ. And then the second part, it gets into like practical living, how we're supposed to actually live this stuff out.
Oh, I see. So it's like he lays the foundation and then says, okay, here's what you do with it.
Exactly. And in that first part, the theological stuff, there's this one passage that really jumps out, Ephesians 1:19-20. Paul's talking about this incomparably great power that's available to believers, and he's not talking about some abstract power. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Wow. So it's like a direct challenge to everything the Ephesians believed about power,
yeah,
right? Like they were all about magic and rituals and finding power in those things.
Right. And Paul's saying, nope, true power comes from Christ.
That's powerful. And it's not just power for our own benefit either. It's power to change the world around us.
Absolutely. And he ties this power to the idea of unity, which is a big theme in Ephesians.
Yeah, Dr. Darko was talking about how radical that idea of unity was, especially in a city like Ephesus. It wasn't just Jews and Gentiles getting along. It was about breaking down every kind of barrier you could imagine.
It really was. And that unity, it wasn't just some social ideal. Paul connects it to the very nature of God. He says God's plan is to unite all things in Christ. So this call to unity, it's a reflection of something much bigger. It's a cosmic reality.
Wow. That puts a whole new spin on things. It's not just about tolerance. It's about recognizing that we're all connected, that we're all part of this huge plan.
Exactly. But, you know, it's one thing to talk about cosmic realities. It's another to figure out how to live that out in the messiness of everyday life.
That's the big question, right? So how does Paul bridge that gap?
Well, that's where the second half of the letter comes in. Dr. Darko points out how Paul shifts gears here. He goes from these big theological ideas to very specific instructions for how to live this new life in Christ.
Okay, so let's get practical. What kind of advice is he giving?
Well, he starts with relationships, which makes sense. I mean, think about the Ephesian church, all those different people coming together. There's bound to be some friction, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So Paul talks about humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, all those things that are essential for building healthy relationships.
It's like he's anticipating the problems that come up when you bring people from such different backgrounds together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving them tools to work through those differences.
Exactly. And he doesn't sugarcoat things either. He talks about anger, bitterness, slander, sexual immorality, all the stuff that was rampant in Ephesus. And he's basically saying, you need to get rid of those things. Put off the old self and those old patterns of behavior.
This idea of putting on the new self, Dr. Darko talks about that a lot. It sounds like a pretty radical transformation.
It is. He describes it as this process of ongoing renewal. It's about constantly aligning your life with the character of Christ. And it's not just about outward behavior. It starts with a change of heart. And that leads to real change in how we act.
So it's not just a vague idea, like be a better person. He gives specific examples.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them.
Yeah.
He says, put away falsehood. Speak truthfully. Don't let anger control you. Work honestly. Use your words to build each other up. It's very practical stuff.
It's like he's giving them a roadmap for how to live out this new identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And it's not just for personal growth either, right?
Nope. It's all about becoming a visible embodiment of Christ's love and grace to the world around us. This is where it starts to connect with that whole idea of spiritual warfare that Dr. Darko keeps coming back to.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It's not just about fighting demons or whatever. It's about living in a way that shows that Christ has already won the victory.
You got it. Dr. Darko, he talks about this cosmic battle that's going on between the powers of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we as believers were called to be soldiers in that battle, but not with physical weapons, you know. We fight with truth, righteousness, faith.
Which is why Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. It's not literal armor, of course, but it's like this set of spiritual resources that he gives us. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, all of those things. It's how we stand firm against the spiritual attacks that are coming at us.
And remember those Ephesia Grammata we talked about earlier, those magical words that people believed had power. Dr. Darko thinks that Paul's description of the armor of God is a direct response to that. It's like he's saying, You don't need magic words. You've got the power of the living God on your side.
That's a great point. So instead of relying on these cryptic formulas, we have something much more powerful.
Exactly. And we access that power through prayer, through standing firm in our faith, and through living out the gospel in a world that honestly can be pretty hostile to it.
It's a lot to unpack, isn't it? We've covered the theology, the call to unity, the practical stuff about how to live, and this whole idea of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Dr. Darko tie all of this together as he finishes his lecture? It really feels like we've gone on this journey with Dr. Darko, you know, from those bustling streets of Ephesus all the way to these really deep theological concepts in Paul's letter. It's pretty amazing.
I know, right? It's like a crash course in first century history and theology all rolled into one. And he's managed to weave in so many different things, you know, the history, the theology, how it all applies to our lives today. And then that whole picture of spiritual warfare. I'm really curious to hear how he pulls it all together.
Me too. One thing that stuck out to me throughout the lecture was how he kept emphasizing that Ephesians is a letter. You know, it's not just some abstract theological treatise. It was written to a specific group of people who were dealing with real problems and challenges.
Oh, right. Real people living real lives.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you think he'll connect that ancient world with our lives today?
Well, I'm guessing he'll focus on those timeless truths that we can all relate to no matter what time period you live in. You know, things like the importance of unity, the fact that we all struggle with temptation, the call to live out our faith in practical ways. Those are things that are just as relevant today as they were back then.
For sure. And, you know, I'm wondering if he'll zero in on any specific passages that he finds especially meaningful for people today. There are so many gems in Ephesians. Verses that can really change your perspective or challenge you to think differently.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes just one verse, when you really understand the context, it can open up a whole new layer of meaning. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear Dr. Darko's final thoughts. Let's see how he wraps up this exploration of Ephesians.
He really ends on a strong note, doesn't he? It's not enough to just admire how beautiful Ephesians is or to pick apart all the theology. He's challenging us to actually put it into practice, mm-hmm. to live it out.
It's a good reminder. It's so easy to get caught up in the intellectual side of things. But for Ephesians, it's not just some ancient text to be studied. It's a living word that should be shaping our lives, our relationships, the way we interact with the world around us.
I thought it was really interesting how he focused on that passage about putting on the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 6:10-18. You know, he doesn't treat it like some nice metaphor. He connects it directly to the spiritual battles that the Ephesians were facing and the battles that we face today.
Right. And for people living in Ephesus, surrounded by all that magic and superstition, the idea of spiritual armor would have been really powerful. It's like a declaration that we don't need to rely on those things, you know, charms or spells or whatever. We have the power of Christ to protect us and give us strength.
And he doesn't just tell us to put on the armor. He goes through each piece, explaining what it represents and how we can use it to stand strong in our faith. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. These aren't just abstract ideas. They're tools that we can use in this spiritual battle.
And what I like is that he emphasizes that this isn't about being afraid or paranoid. It's about having confidence in who we are in Christ and living that out with courage, with integrity.
And I love how he brings it all back to the beginning of the letter.
Yeah.
You know, to that core truth about our identity in Christ. It's like he's saying, remember who you are, remember whose you are, and then go out there and live like it.
It's such a powerful reminder, especially in a world that's constantly trying to tell us who we should be and how we should live. Ephesians offers us a different way of seeing ourselves and the world, a different story.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Ephesians, mm-hmm. what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from it? What seed do you want to plant in their minds?
I hope they leave with a sense that this letter, even though it's written so long ago, it's still incredibly relevant. It's still powerful.
Yeah.
It's not just for scholars or theologians. It's a guide for anyone who wants to live a life of purpose and meaning and make a real difference in the world.
And maybe it'll inspire them to pick up Ephesians and read it again, to dig a little deeper and see how these timeless truths can speak into their own lives today.
That's what I love about a deep dive like this. It's not just about learning information. It's about sparking that desire to keep exploring, to keep asking questions.
Well said. So on that note, we'll leave our listeners with one final thought to chew on. Dr. Darko mentions that the Ephesian church face a lot of challenges, you know, both from inside and outside the church. So what challenges do we face as believers today? And how can the wisdom we find in Ephesians help us to face those challenges with, you know, grace and courage and resilience? That's something worth thinking about. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the incredible richness of God's Word.
See you next time.